Hey, everybody. Welcome back to campus. We are in Commerce America at East Texas A&M and a little inside Lion Athletics to help your summer move along. Gosh, Jim Curry, it's been weeks. It's been over a month, like 8 weeks maybe. What day
since,
is this?
Since we got together, it's been a few weeks, but we're less than 3 weeks away from our first team reporting for preseason camp.
Holy cow.
Soccer in 3 weeks from yesterday.
Wow.
Yep.
And I got here a little bit early today and saw a little action over in the field house on
not
the gym
bad, right?
floor. Man, you know, when I'm looking up at all of our basketball players, things are going really good.
Yeah. The women have been here for a few weeks now. And I think people will see a difference for sure. And the roster's definitely been retooled. It's a lot taller and bigger than it was, but really skilled too. And I think more than anything, I was talking about this with Val just this week, you know, after you know, kind of dropping in on a practice, the energy's different. Mm-hmm. And the competitiveness is different. And you know, again, I don't mean that to be a knock on the previous teams. I just think this group's bringing a higher level
They've stepped
of
up.
Intensity right now, and which is what we want to see.
Yeah.
So exciting, particularly coming off the year, you know, we had a good bounce back year from the year before. You know, when you're the only school to knock off the league champ twice during the regular season, it gives you a little bit of momentum, you know, going into the off season. You know, credit to the staff for continuing to grind there. But yeah, excited about them getting going. And then, so right now they're going. Football had workouts this morning as well.
Okay.
So they're hot and heavy into it. And yeah, it'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, we've got Clint. He'll be coming on here to talk football, by the way. So will Valerie King to talk about women's basketball. Looking at the program overall, though, you haven't been twiddling your thumbs waiting on anybody. You spent nearly a month on the road just doing legislative, and by that I mean NCAA legislative.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of legislation going on right now, whether it's conference, NCAA, federal legislation now with a Senate bill going for a floor vote. So, yeah, I mean, it's that time of year. You know, we wrap up the academic year. We kind of get towards the end of the school year, and then it's we get really heavy into meeting cadence. Mm. So, you know, I sat in the conference meetings on behalf of the other ADs in the league and in the basketball coaches meetings.
Mm-hmm.
That was really insightful. But also just enjoyable, really, to kind of hear the different perspectives from both the men's and the women's group. Then the following week, I was at our league meetings. So ADs, presidents, FARs. Then the following week, I was in at a national industry event. NACTA for that. And so, yeah, it just keeps going. And so then we did some end of year kind of breakouts and department kind of, you know, end of year assessments and kind of strategic planning for next year. And, you know, now we've got a bunch of end of year reporting due over the next few days to kind of close out last year and then start to look ahead for next year. So, you know, it's always been the case that, you know, you kind of hit the 4th of July on the other side of it. And it kind of feels like that year's here, but I think with everything now accelerated, it feels like it's already here in a way.
Sure.
You know, with three teams reporting in July, you know, soccer will be here July 15, football will start July 29, volleyball could start a little bit earlier than they are, but they're going to start at the end of July, and so it is here.
I will say this, that I've never had even the not quite yet finished basketball schedules accessible. And, you know, now it's probably like 90-95% done. But to have that in June when normally that's something that came along in September, October, before November games. So
yeah, and that's with more games on this calendar, too.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing that, you know, probably we haven't talked, I don't know if we've talked about it on here, but the NSA added additional games to the basketball schedule for next year. So now you can play a total of 32.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the way your schedule set up before, you could either go from anywhere from 29 to 31. Last year, we actually did play 32 on the men's side because of the Hawaii exception.
Right.
And then an MTE. But now all that's, you know, kind of been
Are the MTEs gone, multi-team event?
Yeah, they're not gone, but now they don't. There's no scheduling advantage anymore to get additional games by doing an MTE.
Every game
it's just a hard
counts
count
as
now.
One game.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yep. So whereas the women, I think they've been 29 all 3 years since Val's been here. So they haven't done an MTE, if I'm not mistaken, since she's been here. So, but they'll be at 32 next year.
We played in one out in Arizona. Couple of years ago, Thanksgiving.
That's right. So yeah, that 1 year. Yeah,
we and at Padre, we did another one at Padre, but that was even before you got.
I think
here.
That was
South Padre. Burton was still here.
Yeah, that was Burton. Yeah.
All right, before God, we can get so fast into much ahead of us, but we got a lot to celebrate in the department from last year too, grades wise.
Oh, no question. You know, I think both in the classroom and on the playing surface. So, when we look at the playing surface, we finished out the golf and the track season, softball, and walked away with the most number of all-conference selections that we've had since we've been in the Southland Conference for this year.
That's all sports.
All sports. I think particularly noteworthy given how far the league has come as well.
Mm-hmm.
When we our first year in the league, I think it might have been 7 or 8 teams. Now we're at 12. The quality of play across the board is so much higher than it was.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can see that. So for us to continue to kind of stand out and really kind of raise the bar and hit new heights for us here, now just 4 years into it now, but and continue to do that in a league that's deeper and better than it's been in a really, really long time, I think says a lot about where we're going. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the pieces that we're putting together. And I think when you look around the department and you look at the level of recruiting that's going on right mm-hmm. now, the type of student athletes we're bringing in, the quality of it, you can see it really elevating. And so I mentioned that because I'm a very process-oriented person. And so I think those are the types of things you've got to do to then realize some of those team goals and some of those bigger outcomes that we're still shooting for.
Mm-hmm.
So excited about that. And again, I think just celebrating the progress and the new accomplishments along the way. So excited to see how that kind of translates as we move forward, because there's no doubt these rosters are getting better and better every mm-hmm. time we turn around. So, in the classroom, again, another just outstanding semester, another outstanding year there. We had 67 grads this spring, which was our biggest class of graduates since we turned D1. And mm-hmm. I think that's particularly noteworthy as well, because this was also the first year of the roster limits.
Okay.
So our roster, like in total, our student athlete population went down by more than 30 compared to last year.
Mm-hmm.
But we still had more graduates than we've had in any of the 4 years since we've been in the Southland and been D1. So, and actually our total student athlete population for each of those years in D1 is definitely under what it was in the D2 era as well. So again, credit to the coaches and our students for our student athletes for taking care of business in the classroom. I think one of the cool things too about those 67 grads is, in addition to those 67 grads we had this spring, we had 26 more on top of it, former student athletes who came back and finished degrees, whether that be in separating from the university, coming back and we're mm-hmm. helping them get their degree for the first time, or finishing up a master's degree. The thing about this, when you build that relationship with the university and we talk about being a Lion for life, like that's another manifestation of it, is that this is where they'll come back to pursue, higher, advanced degrees. And also too, our commitment to bring them back to finish the degree if they left without it. We got a couple more this summer that will do the same thing. And so, just because the eligibility's done doesn't mean that we've lost our commitment to our students and their academic endeavors. So really proud of that. We just wrapped up the GPA assessment. The term GPA for the semester is a 3.12. The CUM GPA is a 3.23, I think,
mm-hmm.
Across the board for all, 300 student athletes, roughly. Two-thirds of them have a 3.0. Almost a quarter of them had a 4.0 this past semester. It's pretty impressive when you see what the student athletes are doing in the classroom.
Awesome stuff. Yeah. How, and this might not be fair, but you've had in your career in life, D3, D2, and now, D1 for mm-hmm. a long time before you got here. But do you see the types of degrees that they're going after? Is there one that's kind of like most of the athletes go this way?
No, or? I think that's what's cool about this place is the different types of programs that our student athletes pursue. And I think people would be surprised to see how many engineering, health sciences, nursing degrees, just incredible, degree programs that mm-hmm. our student athletes are in, business, women's basketball had computer science.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so we see these types of degrees across the board. We had a men's basketball student athlete who was recognized as student athlete of the year for the Southland Conference, an engineering major.
Yep.
It's incredible to see what's happening. So I think what we do a great job of here as a university, this isn't just applicable to athletics, but I think our athletes benefit from it, is we do a great job of just meeting students where they are in their academic journey.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, if you want to pursue that advanced, very specialized degree, pre-professional type stuff, that you have opportunity to do that here. You want to pursue a master's degree or doctorate, we got the opportunity here. And if you're a transfer who's coming in and just trying to figure out a pathway to get that degree done, need to bring in a bunch of credits, you want to wrap up here, we got an opportunity for you there too. And so I think we do that that's something we do well as a university for all students, like mm-hmm. I said, and our student athletes certainly benefit from it. But I am impressed at the types of degrees that our student athletes pursue, because particularly those that are pursuing majors in the STEM areas,
mm-hmm.
We know those create more challenges, obviously, from an academic rigor perspective and just everything that comes with that. And our numbers are high in that regard, and they perform well in that regard, too.
Excellent. Yep. Man. Hey, how's progress coming on some of the campus facility projects?
Yeah.
We've got this little barn going up down just south of the intersection.
Yeah.
And then new turf over at the soccer field. What yep. else?
Yeah. So so everything's moving well down at the arena. If you've been on campus, you continue to see the progress. Now, this is what they kind of told us would happen too. Like, you'll feel like there's nothing happening, and then all of a sudden walls will go up. And then the walls will go up and you'll feel like nothing's happened, and then it'll be open. Like, and that's kind of where we are now. Like, now that the walls are on it, you can't see everything happening inside.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just peek a little bit over the edge there, you see a lot happening inside. So it's exciting. It still continues to pace well. Spring delivery for that,
mm-hmm.
For next spring. So excited. And so we're just rocking and rolling there. Everything seems to be humming along very well there. You mentioned soccer, and I'm glad you brought that up. We went in and actually put in all new sod, natural grass,
mm-hmm.
for soccer for this upcoming season. And I think given the weather that we've had this year, too.
Ought to be well watered.
Definitely got some rain, got some heat. It feels a little bit like Florida around here and not mm-hmm. Texas, but great grass growing weather, I can tell you that. So that's coming along really nice, but it was needed. And not only that, we're hosting the conference tournament this year too. So it was very timely to get that done. As we started to kind of look through and kind of, okay, how are we gonna phase some of our just our playing surface, replacement. We look at football, we look at softball, we look at soccer. Soccer was the one that was the oldest, that hadn't been done.
Okay.
And so we really needed to get in there. And what happens over time with grass of that type, you get mutations, you get different types of things that kind of pop up. The
sure.
irrigation system starts to need some repair. And so it was time. It was time. And we've always kind of been, I think, thought of very highly in terms of our playing surface. I think last season we started to see some of that degradation that just occurs over time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, it was ready for a replacement. But, again, it's going to be great. It's a great playing surface. It looks great. We've brought in some folks to do that project and work with our campus partners here with Red River
mm-hmm.
to come in and do that. They do surfaces at North Texas and Baylor and, all across the state, some very high-level natural grass surfaces. So we're excited about what we're going to get there.
Well, thank goodness they don't have to try and grow it indoors like at
yeah.
that little house over in Arlington where they're playing.
Hey, if we want to have a dome on this campus, I'm good, man. I'm good. I'll forego the natural grass.
Hey, you can have an early afternoon kickoff if you have a dome.
We can have a kickoff whenever we want. So, and then in that regard too, we're putting the finishing touches on a facility master plan for the university.
Mm-hmm.
Athletics has got a very heavy presence in that, I think, as anyone would expect. And so excited to get some of that information out here from the university side. I think there's going to be some things in there that get some people's attention.
I think there should be plenty of them, just off of what we've talked about off and on for the last year and a half.
Yep.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. And I think it really, not just for athletics, but for the entire university, I think continues to build on the momentum that we've really been building here.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I think, is very well thought out and very intentional. We've had, you know, every stakeholder to the university has been involved in some shape or form. So excited about that. And then actually next week, we've got some additional meetings. Continuing the conversation about what's going to happen with the field house.
Mm-hmm.
So the folks that we've partnered with to look at the programming of this space, they're going to be, we're back with them next week again to start to continue that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
About what that looks like. You know, the folks that we've got involved there, I mean, they've been involved in building training facilities at, you know, Florida and, you know, Clemson and places like that. So, I mean, these are the best of the best out there in this regard. So we're excited to partner with them. And actually, we've got a couple, we've got a few little projects we're working on right now over at the stadium too,
mm-hmm.
Just in preparation for the season. We're getting ready to go. We're just humming. Yeah, we're going.
Man, I love it.
It's good.
I love it. There's so much I want to ask you about facilities, but this this might not be the show to do it on.
We'll just keep going.
Yeah.
Good. And again, I think we're at various stages. I mean, when it comes to facilities for athletics, I think we're in, you know, depending on which venue we're looking at, we're kind of in various different stages of that. And that's to be expected.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have so much variance in it. You know, there's even some things we're looking to do up at just Whitley to just kind of refresh some of the look and feel.
Mm-hmm.
In there. Nothing too extensive, but I think it would be a noticeable change when student athletes and recruits walk in there. So, you know, it's all varying scales that mm-hmm. you kind of work through with this type of stuff. And nonetheless, there's progress nonetheless.
So what else is going on? You've got the family out of here a little bit, I hope. Everybody gets a break.
We did kind of skip away for a couple days to go to the U.S. World Cup match in Seattle. So that was pretty cool.
Is that the closest ticket you could find?
Well, when all the U.S. matches are on the West Coast,
you got to take your bet,
right? So, but that was pretty cool. So we kind of got away for a couple days for that, and that was a really kind of special, kind of cool thing. And, you know, again, I tell people, like, you know, what I do for fun. I do sports. And
mm-hmm.
No, that's your job. I'm like, that's what I do. But, like, I'm not lying. Like, literally, that's what I do for fun.
Yep.
So, but yeah, so we haven't gotten away yet, but we'll get some time, I think later next month, maybe. We'll see.
Try to get away.
But some other just big stuff happening over the last few weeks. That Mercer announcement, I mean, we'd kind of teased it here quite a few times, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think if you've watched this or listened to us over the last few months, you knew this was coming. But, you know, I think what we didn't know, but we knew was possible, but got confirmed, was that ESPN primetime slot. I mean, you cannot overstate that window, you know, on the opening weekend of college football,
mm-hmm.
in prime time, 7:00, on in every bar and restaurant in America. And mind you, the two games before that is the Ireland game with TCU, and I can't remember who they're playing now, but TCU is playing in the Ireland game in the morning, mm-hmm. on ESPN. After that was supposed to be that Brazil game between NC State and Virginia. Now it's going back to campus, but an ACC conference matchup. And then we're on after that.
And we almost were the first FCS game, right? But that, some folks slipped in.
Oh, there's
but
a,
they'll have,
that's right.
Like,
there's
lesser,
a game on Friday, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Idaho is playing a game on Friday night on ESPN or EU. They're on an ESPN outlet on Friday night. But
well, that'll be big in Pocatello.
Yeah, right. There you go. So, I think that's what's just incredible about the whole thing. And, you know, I think also, too, we talk about using this platform, right, to talk about the story of the university, our student athletes, our athletics program and what have you. And again, no better platform to be able to do it than on the mothership. And, you know, I think the other thing, too, being one of only three FCS schools that have opened the college football season on a national linear broadcast each of the last 3 years. I mean, that just doesn't happen, right? And I mean, mind you, we've done it on three different networks too. You know, we did True TV and, mm-hmm. you know, against San Diego State. We were up at the half, right?
Yeah.
And then the next year we opened up on ACC Network back-to-back weeks too, SMU. Yeah. And that now open on ESPN. So, you know, it's cool. I mean, you know, you look at the FBS slate, because they have a couple FBS games in mm-hmm. week zero this year as well. I mean, we're the game.
All we need to do is finally get that first win on one of those big linear networks.
Hey, we've played pretty well. Yeah, we've played pretty well in these last two openers on national TV.
Hey, we've been punching up in weight class a while. We're getting closer and closer.
Totally, yeah. Well, I mean, we obviously the start of the football season, we get off to it. I mean, we're coming out the gate strong. I mean, now, last year we opened with SMU and Florida State on the road, and this year we're going to open up against, you know, two really good FCS programs on the road, both in the top 10 last year, both in the playoffs. You know, Mercer to start, and then SFA. You know, the Mercer game wasn't supposed to be on their campus; that was supposed to be a neutral site game.
Right. We were thinking that was Birmingham. Montgomery.
Yep.
Yeah.
So ESPN has had this branded kind of kickoff FCS kickoff game every year. And they've done it at neutral sites, but they had to move it this year due to some challenges they had playing it last year up in Montgomery. So that's how it ended up in Macon. But
how will we play in SFA so soon? Early conference game.
This is what's happened with the with week zero now in FCS.
Mm-hmm.
So FCS moves to the 12 game schedule permanently. It was because of a legislative exception the last 2 years, 2025. 26, we were supposed to go back to 11 games. So, and then you wouldn't open on the 29th, you'd be opening the week after, which would be Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
But now with the rule change to allow for 12 games, that opens up week zero for everybody. So every FCS team is basically playing in week zero. FBS is going to start that next year. So really, we need to take advantage of the opportunity now,
mm-hmm.
because in the out years, FBS games are going to be in week zero, and I don't know how many FCS games are going to get on TV. And mind you, we've done it the last 2 years, but
yeah.
It's going to be harder.
Okay.
And so that's how it ended up, that kind of stretched out the schedule a little bit. Games get scheduled out so early that now you've got holes early in the schedule, and you just got to balance it out with league games.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it could have been any opponent in league. It just ended up being that one.
Are there, and I haven't looked at anybody else's schedules, but we're not the only ones.
No, there's conference games in week zero when we're playing Mercer.
Wow.
Yeah, and that will be the case, I think, for a few years to come now because of opening that up.
Because mm-hmm.
you don't want to take your bye in week zero.
Yeah.
Then you're playing 12 straight.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny. We've called it week zero forever, and we still call it week zero. It's really now just week one. So this is what they'll be now. So that's how we ended up with SFA being so early. We were going to end up with a league game. It just kind of shook out of who also was open that week from a league perspective, didn't have a non-conference game already scheduled,
mm-hmm.
and then going from there.
Okay.
So, but I like that we're going to get that first home game a little bit earlier this year. I mean, heck, I think it was, week five last year is when we had our first home game?
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be the third game this year. And then as we get into some of the out years, we'll have even earlier home games. I mean, in a couple of years, we're going to open with Prairie View again. You know, in week zero at home.
Man.
So that's kind of exciting.
It will be. That'll be a great crowd.
Yeah, totally. So,
okay.
So I I'm excited about it. You know, football staff's been working their tails off. We've got a lot of new faces, both on the staff and among the student athletes themselves. Heck, we could probably do a whole full day episode of meeting all the new people here. So we've had a bunch of new faces coming through, but you know, again, I think what I'm so excited about is I think we just continue to get better and better as a group. When you travel around the country and the conference and all these different events over the last month, it's become very clear that people are paying attention to what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're excited about it. And I think the other thing too, and this is a good thing and a bad thing, You know, poor Brian over in Sports Med, I mean, he basically, all his trainers got poached by other schools. So like, I mean, TCU, Army, Oregon State, I'm gonna forget somebody else in there, San Jose State. I mean, but it says a lot about what people think about what we're doing here. They think a lot about the staff that we've got here. But then also that too, like, that happens, and now we're folding it back in, and people are excited about the opportunity to come here,
wow,
be a part of what we're doing. So it's fun. A lot of new faces, but it's exciting.
Hey, that's what name badges
that's
are
it.
For, and
go,
numbers,
right?
On the uniforms. What else, Jim? Gosh, we've covered a lot of ground.
Well,
and still
one thing we haven't talked about is we have a new softball coach.
Well, yeah. Well, you weren't here for that episode.
Yeah, I was here for the one before.
Yeah.
I like this one. This one's a lot more fun than the one I was here for.
Yeah. So how'd that go?
Oh, man, it was great. It was great. You know, I was talking to someone on the staff the other day, and I was sending some emails late the other night, and, you know, like 11:30 midnight, and I walked in the next morning. I'm like, hey, you saw that note. Can you mind going in and knocking that out? She's like, oh, yeah, I already got it done. She's like, you weren't alone, though, sending emails that late. Rodney, George. I'm like, perfect, great, love it. So, he's off and running. He's got a lot to do, obviously. You know, someone was, ran into someone last week, and they were like, oh, yeah, hey, I'd love to swing by and see Rodney. I'm like, that dude is recruiting, trying to hire staff, moving, like the whole thing. So he hasn't come up for air yet, but man, he's got a ton of energy. He's excited about the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You guys obviously had a chance to meet with him before, but you know, excited about what he's bringing to the table. And again, he sees what's possible here. So we're excited, man. It's gonna be great.
Well, let me ask you this, and this is kind of outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
But he's almost a local guy, just his footprint of his career.
Yeah.
Cameron, you know, Cache High School,
yep.
Then Cameron.
North Texas
right. Is where he was.
Yep.
And then he got a year off. But how did you find, because you're not a local guy, how did you find him, or did he find you, and then everything just clicked?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of both. I mean, you obviously, when you got someone like that in your footprint who's had the success, you know, people talk about like your short list, right? Like who you got in your short list.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't know if there's necessarily like, maybe I'm the oddball. I don't know. I don't know if I've got a list on the top drawer of the desk that you pull out when you have a coach's chair. I don't have that.
It's on your phone now.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. Right. But I mean, there's, you know, when you're watching games, you're watching everything. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start to learn just, you know, by just being present and talking to people about who's doing well, who stands out, who's maybe, you know, punching above their weight, who's doing things differently. And he's one of those guys that, you know, you see what he's done, and you know, he's here locally, obviously, with, you know, being up in Denton before here, and you just know that, you know, man, he's done a lot there that's never happened at places before. You know, his time at Austin Peay, they had gone 24 straight years with losing season, and then they have a winning season, win 39 games, 38 mm-hmm. games, you know, that year he was there. You know, so you there's people like that out there that you kind of hear these stories, and you kind of just put it in the, you know, deposit it in the memory bank a little bit, and you know, and so. But, you know, interestingly enough, we were kind of connected through an old ET guy.
Oh, sure.
With Ryan Ivey.
Yeah.
That's right.
He was his boss up at Austin
Peay. Right. And so I had an opportunity to talk to Ryan a little bit. Ryan obviously was here when they started the softball program.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, anytime you go, this is me, and I think I'm not alone in this, but I think, you know, having enough, you know, just humility to make these calls, like, you don't have to have all the answers in this, but you got to be willing to do the work and kind of turn over every stone, have the conversations you need to have to see, okay, who's out there, who's thinking about this place, you know, who do we need to be thinking about that we're not paying attention to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a name that popped up, and actually popped up a few times in just some of the early conversations. You know, the amount of interest in the softball position here was incredibly high. And, I felt good. You get into these processes, and it's unfortunate conversations to get to this point because, you got to separate from another staff. But very quickly you learn. Not only do people see the opportunity here and what's happening at the university as an exciting opportunity, but also too, even though we struggled the last few years, as we've gotten into D1, people remember the 6 years before that.
Yeah.
I promise you that.
We never had a losing season.
I promise you that. Everybody remembers what happens here. Like, and so it was exciting that people could kind of put that together. I think they see what we've got in terms of facilities, in terms of support, kind of how we've grown this thing. And, mm-hmm. and I think really kind of methodically grown it through scholarship, the increases that we've made on the operating lines in the budget, and those types of things. It doesn't mean we're done. We've got more we've got to do. We've got to grow some things on the staff side. We've got to take care of some deferred maintenance. There's some additional projects we can do. But in terms of how we've continued to grow this thing and create a job and a program that people are excited about and want to be a part of,
mm-hmm.
that's unquestioned. There's no doubt about it. It was an exciting process to go through. Moved really fast, there's no doubt about it. Again, no short of interest there. And literally had sitting Division I Coach of the Year in the pool, had Coach of the Year at other Division I institutions, conference champions, you name it, at multiple different divisions as well.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, NAI, JUCO, the whole thing. So it was exciting. It was really good. But, Rodney stood out, I think, for a lot of reasons. Obviously, his coaching record speaks for itself. But it's a guy who, he's a guy who really wanted to be here.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that knew this place. He played here against two different teams.
Right.
So he's also undefeated in that stadium.
Well, we expect him to keep it that way. Right?
I told him that, no pressure, right? But you're undefeated in the stadium. So at two different schools. But, I think given his relationship to North Texas, the region, and East Texas, the high school coaches know him, the JUCO coaches know him, he's got those built-in relationships, and I think that's one of the things is that we're always going to recruit the best player wherever they come from, but we also want to make sure that we're recruiting this space too, and he gave us the ability to do that.
There's a ton of talent.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
Just to kind of look at the footprint in Marshall at ETBU, mm-hmm. two national championships under the head coach there,
yep.
and their facilities are better than most mm-hmm. D1s yep. for their softball.
Yep.
And then over at UT Tyler that started out in yep. Division III, but now is at Division II yep. in the Lone Star. And they almost got to a natty. Mike Reed mm-hmm. retired. Who yeah. knows what he's going to do now besides administrate.
Yeah, right.
Might be grandkids that got in the picture. All these people that started out youngsters when I did, yeah. now they're retiring. Wouldn't do that.
Oh, so it's good. It is. And there's no doubt the passion for softball in this region is very high. I think it creates a great opportunity for us. And, I don't want to put any pressure on him or anything, but I told him, I said, I've always kind of thought that, again, from my experiences, I saw what happened with sport like baseball at Coastal Carolina
mm-hmm.
and what that did for that university. And I've always kind of thought quietly and maybe out, maybe I've said it out loud to a few folks, but I said it to him, I've always thought that softball could potentially have that same dynamic here at this university just because of the passion for that sport in this region.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I think the league that we play in. The fact that we're in a league that got one of only two outside the Power Four to have an at-large selection into the NCAA tournament says a lot about the quality of play in this league. Now, I've also joked with them since then. I said, since you got in the league, it sounds like everybody's leaving the league. I don't know if they're scared of you or you're running them off, but...
Basketball's off. Changes this year too.
What's funny about that? I don't have to completely switch gears, but talking about the strength of the league, I was I was talking to, was doing some travel and caught up with the AD at Western Michigan, who's a longtime friend. They ended up hiring the RGV men's basketball head coach there.
Okay.
And I told him, I said, yeah, I think you made a really good hire. I think he's a really good coach. We obviously got to see him a number of times. I said, now, also, don't forget, we beat the crap out of them when they came here earlier in the year, too. But I said, this league's really good. He goes, we were watching a lot of Southland games, as we were, getting into that search. And he goes, I've been explaining to our people that the Southland in men's basketball is higher ranked than the MAC. And so that statement alone, and I hadn't really thought about it, but it kind of hit me where I'm like, man, that's right. And he's explaining that to his people up in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Right. And so, I think speaks to where this league is at right now and where it's going.
When you jump from 27th and 28th in men's basketball
to 18,
up to 18, to 18. Overnight, almost. Yeah. You're going to catch a few people sleeping on the quality of the league.
Well, I said this to somebody in the same conversation. I was like, keep this in mind. Like, we only send 8 to the tournament. We got 12 in the league, right?
Yeah.
We were 500 in non-conference play. We won an MTE. We beat a regular season conference champion in another league. And we didn't make our conference tournament. I mean, that's how tough it is in the Southland right now in men's basketball. Now, we haven't talked about men's basketball, but man, Jarrett and the staff have been working their butts off. And we kind of joked in some previous episodes about United Nations of Basketball. I think we're in like the top three right now for most number of internationals on the roster. We'll see where it lands. But
are we teaching every language that we need to speak?
Well, what I said to George was, all the countries you don't have, he's filled them in. So.
It's going to be fun to see those guys.
It will be fun.
And we've been trickling out a little bit.
Yep.
And watching those come in on verbal commits. And it's just like, whoa.
Yeah, it is. And so, they're going to get some people's attention when that class is kind of fully put together.
Yeah.
It'll definitely get some attention in a good way. Like I said, we've talked about what women's hoops doing. Ronnie's getting ready to sign some players and get that announced here as well. We'll have a staff. I mean, it's kind of all coming together a little bit here, but it's been fun. It's been
what
exciting.
A deal. All right, man. Well, you said it, women's basketball, and Valerie King is going to be joining us next.
Okay.
And then we'll have Clint Dalzell so we can talk a little bit of football because it's coming too. Jim, always a pleasure to visit.
Always a pleasure.
Let's line up here. And folks, stick around because we'll be back in a minute with more right after this. Hey, folks, welcome back. More Inside Lion Athletics. I'm Charlie Chitwood. You know that. We got Coach Valerie King here with us. You know that, too. But we get to talk basketball in the middle of the summer. Coach, isn't it great it's an indoor sport?
Yeah, I've said all along I couldn't stand to be an outdoor sport person or coach.
Well, definitely here. Hey, what's up with the team? You got most everybody here. You got a couple of your internationals that drag behind, but yep. And a lot of new faces in that locker room too.
Yeah, we ended up having 9 newcomers, 3 freshmen and 6 transfers. So lots of new faces, but. The 3 returners that we do have here on campus for the summer have been really instrumental in getting everybody on the same page and moving forward.
Love that. Somebody had to know how it all used to be, right?
Right, that's right.
To have so many newcomers like that, I mean, every coach has to have that big roster turnover like that, but you just sit down and grind at the portal or you keep going to tournaments? How'd the recruiting go? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously we had signed 2 freshmen early, signed another freshman late out of California. We had been recruiting her for a little bit of time, so we were already on her. But, as soon as the portal opened, which I don't really have my dates now, but yeah. whatever that date was, I mean, we were on the phone getting visits set up and, we moved pretty quick with quite a few kids just because we had recruited them out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a couple that, obviously said yes pretty quick to us. Then there were a couple that we had to, you know, just ride the wave with and wait them out. Obviously, those, you know, ended up coming to us and turned in our favor, so.
Yeah, so, and we kind of go through this every year in other sports too about the portal itself and what you get when you go to the portal to look. And it's almost like a phone book. You get basically a name, address, and a phone number.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty generic when you get in there, but obviously it's, and especially for us this year, it was a lot of kids that we knew, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? There were only a couple that were probably just like those, the first time that, you know, they had talked to us and vice versa. So I don't want to say it was easier, but it was a little more, I would say, comfortable having mm-hmm. those conversations this year, knowing what we were going into, who we were talking to. AAU coaches, they had high school coaches, they had that we already know. So that made it a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. So this is your fourth season coming up, and coach, I guess some of that familiarity with those coaches on the recruiting trails, that's got to pay off a little bit too, huh?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think we've laid some really good groundwork, you know, throughout the state and the region, and just people knowing who we are and what we're doing here. And that has helped quite a bit.
When you're looking for newcomers, first you want to get better. That's mm-hmm. every coach's dream.
Yep.
Do you try to do a blend on the age, the youth of your teams? You know, you want one or two freshmen, you want one or two sophomores. How do you like to build yours?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that we looked at the ages so much as what we really needed. We needed size, athleticism, height. When I say size, I mean like we needed some muscle, you know, mm-hmm. size and height. And just really what holes we needed to plug. Obviously, I don't know, you can look at it different ways. You need some kids with a little bit of experience. We took a couple kids that were freshmen at other institutions last year. So I think we got a good mix of both this year.
Now, of all the names that you've brought in, there's one of those players that has been on this court before in a ball game, and that would be the post you got out of the portal, Torrey Sevier. Yeah. Last year, and maybe the last two, at A&M Corpus Christi.
That's correct. Yeah.
6'6", coach.
Yeah, you know, Torrey was one that, you know, we knew we wanted as soon as we knew, you know, her name was in there and that she was leaving Corpus. I mean, I think she was probably our first call that Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
She was driving back to Corpus. She had been home for Easter weekend and was driving back to Corpus with her dad. So we had a great first conversation, you know, and she actually came and visited us pretty quick with her and her parents. But yeah, I mean, we knew she was the one we wanted from the get-go.
Awesome stuff. What about some of the other portal gets? You know, how's the team building going here in the early couple of weeks of getting to know each other?
I think the team building has been really, really good. I think all of our kids have really made an effort of getting together outside of here. They hang out, they watch these crazy shows on TV that I do not watch. So, but they have a really good connection, I would say, off the floor. Holding each other accountable, you know, being each other's biggest cheerleaders. A lot of stuff that we've talked about over the past 2 or 3 months of building this team.
So what's the progression through the summertime up until November when they're actually playing games?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a slower process, I would say, this year just because we have so many newcomers. You know, the first that we just are finishing up our fourth week. And you could see today we were playing a little bit of 3-on-3, but you know, the first 3 weeks I would say are very, very, you know, back to the basics, teaching our footwork, teaching all the ball handling, pickup, start, stuff like that. Just how to catch the ball on the perimeter, how to, you know, what foot we put down to catch every single time. So all that stuff is super important to us, you know, and being able to do that 1-0 and then 2-0 and, obviously, finally adding some defense these past few days in practice. You know, you're really able to see what kids are able to do where they feel more comfortable, what their strengths and weaknesses are. So we're getting to that point now. Obviously, we've built a lot of the offense already, which I talk to them about a lot. They don't really know it. We've just built it, you know, and like piece by piece. So they'll see the whole picture, probably not till August, but we've got quite a bit of that in already. And then really just getting them to learn to be comfortable in the offense and learn how to play together.
So with the defense work coming up later, how will that be really different for some of them? And let me back up. How did you gauge their ability to play defense? And did they look like a fit for your system?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously offense is probably what everybody looks at first, but you know, I think when we changed defenses this time last year, I think we knew what we needed, obviously, to be able, how to be able to play that way, a little bit more pressure, you know, getting up in some people full court. So I think every single kid we signed, like, has that mentality. You know, Blake Brackens is a freshman. I really thought she was just maybe going to be a defender for us because she's really, really good defensively. But she has really shown some really good strides on offense. But like, she has that defensive mentality. Mackenzie White, another freshman out of Lancaster, like, already has that defensive mindset. So, you know, I think it's kids that have already been in a program, a high school program, a different college program, that have already done that.
I was just going to say, if you get the high school kids from the right program, they're a step ahead of some others.
That's correct. You know, and not even high school, whatever summer program too. So it's having those two already have that mindset of what is expected on the defensive end is a really good thing.
Okay. Well, scheduling is starting to firm up, and I know there's a little fluidity yet for some dates and all the times, but you're going to open at home against Oklahoma Christian.
Yes.
So welcome back to Commerce, Markeith Brown, longtime assistant here, super dude.
Yep.
But then you're going to go home a little bit and take the Lions up to Cincinnati to face the Bearcats. I believe you're still in the record books there, Coach. Yeah. All-time three-point hitter, score, you know. Yeah. What's that going to be like for you to go home again?
It'll be fun. I'm excited. You know, I think obviously just a great experience for our kids to, you know, we play a lot of regional, you know, Power Four teams. So I think it'll be good for them too to like get out of the region and see somebody else. And they have a couple Texas kids. So quite a few of our Texas kids know them as well. So I think that's, you know, I think that's a big thing to them too. But, you know, I think just experiencing different places in the country and, you know, how different programs are supported and, you know, just to be able to see different places, I think it's good for them.
And I believe this year, that's your longest trip away from Texas.
It is, yeah, which I'm glad about. So
so tell us about some of the other games that kind of jump out at you. You're the one that lined them up.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Well, you got A&M. We'll be playing down there. Yeah. Playing at SMU.
Yeah. We'll
Tarleton.
Play at Baylor. And then we have three other, like, Division I teams starting this year with starting a home and home with Tarleton, home and home with La Tech, and a home and home with Pine Bluff. So,
wow.
Three really good teams, obviously, in the region. So
you may get some blue and gold to head to Stephenville for that one. That's just a tiny bit of a rivalry between these two. and if you have just recently been following East Texas A&M, back when we were A&M Commerce and Tarleton was Division II, still in the Lone Star Conference, they're frenemies. We can be friends some of the time, but on game day, no. It'll be fun to go back. They've done a lot on their campus, and they have a brand new gym as well. So I guess they'll get to be one of the first the following year.
They will.
They come back and play us at our place.
That's correct. That's
wow. Tarleton.
It'll be fun.
Just glad we don't wear purple. That's
it. I know, right?
So, what's the summer like? I mean, are the team, are they in classes during any of the summer session, or is it
I would say, I think it's like half and half right now. Six or seven of them are in a class right now, and the other half will take one in July. So they only take one throughout the summer to kind of give them a little bit of a break, and it's kind of broken up with when they're taking it. So, but we'll finish up week four this week. We'll finish up week five next week, and then they'll get a week off, you know, just to kind of get out of here, reset. Then they come back. We'll start back up July 14th.
Okay.
13th, 14th for 3 weeks. And then summer will be over already at that point, which is crazy. So.
Man, I haven't mowed the yard three times. All right. Well, Coach, we're going to let you get back to it then, I guess.
Awesome. Thanks,
it's fun. We can't wait. We get to talk about basketball in the summer. But next up, we get to talk about football. So stick around, folks. We'll have more Inside Line Athletics right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Last segment of this special edition of Inside Lion Athletics. We've had Jim Curry on. We've had Valerie King. Now we got the guy who's really next up when it comes to competition, head coach Clint Dalzell, Lion football. And man, we're 6 weeks. How many weeks away?
Countdown's on. I love it. We've got it, you know, in our weight room of countdown, and we'll blink and it'll be here. It'll be training camp, and thank goodness we got a little more time. Still getting some guys right from spring, new guys coming in. Summer one's almost over, OTAs. We've got one more next Tuesday, and then, you know, summer two backs off a little bit of that with more strength conditioning and just meetings.
So, Coach, how's summer going with them? You've got guys, they've got off-season workouts they can do. Probably more time in the weight room than outside, or vice
versa?
It is.
You know, this is get them in shape time. You know, conditioning and lifting, both summer one and summer two. But, you know, like I said, we do get to do a little football in summer one. But, you know, with a lot of new faces that we had from spring, yeah, we had all spring with them, but we filtered in a few new guys as well to fill some holes from a few injuries we had in the spring. But getting those guys caught up is the biggest thing. And no, it's been good. I'm excited. The Lions are ready to play.
I know that from talking back in the springtime around that game that, you know, you'd be looking to see who graduates in May, as well as, you know, what you were trying to look and see what was in the portal. But those May graduates coming out of JUCOs are, you like those guys. They're ready-made.
I do. That's portal's been open forever, you know, and that's what we've been doing is getting those guys out of there. What I mean by that is JUCO's always been there, and you always want to go fill holes. You go to the JUCOs back in the day. Now it's, I'm still a big believer, obviously. I've said that many times coming from JUCO to East Texas when I came here. You know, you get guys that have been playing. And that's what I want. They're just trending and playing versus guys that, you know, we're going to get portal guys, and we got some. But those guys are, you know, probably been not playing as much and don't have as much, you know, IQ, football IQ as these guys have been playing because of just pure experience. So, yeah, we went out and got some in May. We're still getting a few that needed some hours in the summer to graduate. You know, they weren't quite May graduates from JUCOs and some other places, and still got a few more holes to fill.
Okay. How's the staff set up? You got a new defensive coordinator.
We do.
How will the Lions be different on that side of the ball?
You know, we've got some bigger guys on the defensive line. We've been wanting to be odd, you know, defense, and we're going to do a lot more odd this year, and only because you got, you know, a couple of nose tackles. You can't run an odd if you don't have a big boy in the middle, and we got a couple. We've got one coming. It's not here yet, which, again, be nice to have. But we've been practicing, been running a lot of different fronts, which is, you know, tough on the offense. We should have the right call, but because they shift to an odd or an even, and next thing you know, it changes calls with the offensive line and somebody's unblocked. And, you know, that's the whole purpose of being able to do that. Multiple defenses that's confused what's going on our side of the ball. So Coach Thompson's doing a great job with the defense, and I look forward to seeing what we can do.
You're talking about the secondary being a place where y'all wanted to get a few more bodies, but, yeah. The, you know, Kopu and the other fella.
We got two Kupus, you know, now. We got his brother, too, that's playing linebacker for us, yeah. So we're Roman Kupu and Orion Kupu. We got the Kupu brothers out there.
So playing. Is Roman the older or the younger brother?
He's yeah, I
the
believe younger he's one. The younger, yes.
Is he younger. Better than his older brother?
Well, that, it's
I've
hard
seen
to compare.
That happen
it's
in basketball.
Hard to compare. There's one a little bit bigger, you know, that yep. plays linebacker. And he's a little bit smaller, but they both bring it, and I love that about them.
Good deal. Talk a little bit about offense. Everybody wants to talk about quarterback first, so I guess we will too.
Yeah, you know, it's still a competitive room right now. It's Erod's done a great job with us, his experience. He's been healthy finally in the spring, working till now. And Jack's really been pushing him, you know, coming back from last year. Mm-hmm. So we're excited about that. Heck, and Reese coming from Pearl River's done a good job. Heck, and I really like our freshman that we just got in from summer from high school from Prestonwood. I think he's going to be a great one for us, I mean, down the road. And again, I hope you keep him, but I do like what he's his upside for me. He's 6'5 and 225 and, you know, does not the best run in the world, but he does what I want with the football, and his IQ's up there.
Steps back three and looks around.
That's right. Give it to the guys that know what to do with it.
Running back room, the talent level there from what we saw in the spring game, it has to be better. When you get faster, you have to be better, right?
Yeah. You know, obviously having EJ back, Oakman, he's my go-to guy. I mean, he's if I'm ever going to talk about somebody, it's going to be EJ. Just from where he's been, you know, from a walk-on to a full scholarship guy now, he's a leader in our room, and I put everything on him. You know, he's an older guy, so I won't ask him to have, you know, tons of carries, but I want him out there in the crucial downs because I know he's going to do everything right as far as protection, catching the ball, and when he's got the rock in his hands. Quade Middlebrook has done a great job for us. He is electric. You saw in the spring game, took it 75 untouched, and some people took some bad angles, and that's what you're going to do with fast guys, and we're loving that about him. And, of course, we have McBride that's, you know, time to get some carries for him as well. It's been, you know, backup and young. So we, Jordan, Paul, we're good there at backup, running back. We got four or five guys if I don't mind giving the football. So as long as we can run it against a five-man box with our RPO stuff, we're going to cause some problems on the offensive side.
Well, if you have Sean Solis back 100% or even anything close to it, that's not a bad thing to have in that RPO scheme.
No doubt. Right. Having Salas back is huge. You know, he had that knee injury last year in the summer, like this time last year, and did not take a snap for us. I honestly believe that he could have been a 1,000-yard guy last year. And, you know, I'm looking forward to getting him back out there. Also, you know, opposite of that, we've got some tight ends that are really, you know, they're more of thumpers down in the box, and we'll use him for that, some 12 package stuff, and really get some play action going with that and get some balls downfield with him. And then Micah Simpson's new receiver for us. He's electric. He's lightning in a bottle. He's tough to cover one-on-one. Some of our good safeties that jammed everybody last year are having a hard time touching him. So I love what we got.
Tell us about the O-line. Vistan, earlier you said that it's really just it's gotten deeper, and that may have been the one thing you really needed.
It is, you know, and I think Coach Conley's a big part of that, you know, coming in and it, really putting it on these onus of these guys to get in their playbook, know what's going on, because he demands a lot of them as far as checks and what's going on at the line. Our centers like our quarterback up there, and he is making checks, and they're communicating and just knowing what I talked about when they do an even front to an odd front of making the right checks. More times than not in anything, it's just being in the right spot and understanding what's going on. And if you're going with confidence, you're going to be a better football player, and they have a lot of confidence going right now.
So with Coach Conley's background, that's got to help with some of the recruiting too.
No doubt. I think that's why we have what we have now with the depth that we talked about. You know, I love our 5, 7, 8, 9 guys that we have, which, you know, I haven't been able to say that. You know, we were talking about 2 or 3 just starters. Now we're talking about some depth and some guys and competing for some spots, which is always good. Competitions always makes you better.
Great. Coach, how you feeling, man? Going into year 4, and there's been a lot, you know, to do and learn, and now you seem to have things
That's it.
Going.
The learning part. I've learned a lot, you know. I mean, there's no question eight-man football is different than 11-man football, which arena football is, you know, eight on eight, not 11 on 11. And I've sunk my teeth in it. You know, I've really dove into it, and I progressively have gotten better in every part of it. The head coach part thing, that's easy. I mean, I know when to call timeouts. I know how to manage a football game. I've been able to do that. That's all arena football is managing a football game. But the offensive side of it, you know, and understanding what's going on in the game has changed so much over the years of, you know, when I played to, you know, watching it and going to some NFL camps in the last 4 or 5 years and watching what's happened and be able to just sprinkle in stuff I like that's very tough to cover from, you know, my experience of arena football to run and shoot, zone read, things like that, and just putting the defense in a bind. You know, that's I've always loved doing that. I love the X and O's of executing and trying to dissect the defense, and I'm getting better at it.
Get more of your bodies where they have fewer of theirs.
That's right. Leverage, out angle, all that good stuff, and just, you know, numbers, put their numbers in our favor.
Any rule changes this year that are going to change things up for everybody, not just the Lions?
Not just terrible. I mean, you know, there's a few that are a little bit subtle, but nothing out of the ordinary in my mind. I can't think any off the top of my head that just like, oh wow, that's a game changer. It's not like when the NFL has gone to kicking from the 20-yard line. We're not to that yet. Mm-hmm. Everything's the same for the most part. You know, we hadn't talked about our special teams. I think we're going to be much better there as well.
And they were a step up last year.
They were, and I think we're double that already.
Same cast in the locker room on that bunch.
We've got another deep snapper that we really like. It makes a big difference in putting the ball back there and making the punter feel safe and a consistent snap for PATs and field goals. Anytime you make your punter and kicker comfortable, you know, and that's with a good snapper.
They're precious, aren't they?
They are. You don't know, you don't even think about them until you start seeing the ball really, snapped over heads and the ground. You just take it for granted, and I never have. And, you know, we missed on it last year a little bit, but no, I love where Coach Roberts has got our special teams going. Another alum.
Talk about the team building in the locker room itself and how these guys have come along. Football's so different from every other sport. You know, more bodies, more people that can stand up and speak up, but not all of them should.
That's right. And it's a very good point to bring up because of the revolving door of so many players leaving. It's hard to get that group to be able to stay together and do the right things, right? So you got to have, first of all, it starts with Coach Mack. I think our strength coach is one of the best there is, and he gets those guys going. You know, he works their butt off, and they love him for it, and which is a rare thing. You know, when you get tired and grumpy, you start getting aggravated at times. Not our kids. They work hard. And keeping your guys around. If you got a lot of new faces, they got to buy into what's been going on. Mm-hmm. And your players that you keep around, they help, you know, manage that. They help, you know, run the team. And that's what I want. I want a player-led team. I don't want a coach having to bark every time something's not right. They need to fix it. And you should have heard our guys on the field today. They are barking, and they want it done right. And that's what I expect from offense and defense. And normally it's just your defense. Defense is one that's usually chirping, and they got things going. No, our offense has got things, you know, where they want it too, and they expect things, and they do it right, you know, the first time. And they'll send guys back. They'll send guys on lap for we don't have to. That's what I want.
That's what Coach wants. Exactly right. All right, hey, what about the schedule? So we start with Mercer.
Yep.
We're going to play Tulsa later on, and
it's not an easy schedule.
It's not, but doesn't have Florida State or SMU on it.
It does not. But, you know, Mercer's going to be a great, you know, they're a great program. They have been for years. I don't know how many times they've made the playoffs in a row. Mm-hmm. They had a first-round bye last year. No question there'll be a program that's been around and a very good one. They do have a new head coach they brought in from West Georgia, so a little bit different for them. Some of the players left because of the staff changing, so they're in a little bit of a rebuilding too, and I say too. I don't know who's not. You know, with the portal the way it is, everybody's in rebuilding nowadays. So that is what it is, and it's how fast you can get these guys into what you got going in the program and them buying into it. And, you know, obviously it'll be a good test for us going down there.
That buy-in is got to be that's got to just be huge for you from the very start when you get them on campus.
No doubt.
To start fitting them in.
And that's a big part of, we study these guys when they come in. They think they're looking at us when they come on our visit, you know, that they want to see if they want to go here. We're seeing if they fit us. Yes, we brought them in because they have talent.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't have the right demeanor, they don't have the right attitude, they're a me guy, we don't want them. We won't bring them in. We don't care how good they are because the players end up running them off anyway, and that's just a wasted scholarship. So we do our homework on these guys, and we've gotten better at that each year.
Okay. Man, can't wait.
Yeah, me either.
Football's coming up August 29th. Lions will be in Macon, Georgia, taking on our friends at Mercer College. Lions and Bears. And we can't wait.
Can't wait.
All right. We'll line up here Coach. Folks, thanks for joining us. This one out of the blue, but we got to let you know what's going on even in the summertime. We'll do it again, I'm sure, before season 3 kicks off later. That's probably just weeks away as well. See you, everybody, next time. Go Lions.